today we drink in defense of YA.
And so I bought whatever I could get without an ID.
And what are we drinking?
So 7-Eleven carries a line of Smirnoff Ice flavors in cans.
Smirnoff Ice in a plastic cup from a big can that you bought without an ID. Here's to being a teenager. L'chaim.
L'chaim.
I'm Jessica.
And I'm Yonit.
Welcome to the Kiddush Book Club. Yeah.
As soon as I post that to you, I was like, it's a little creepy.
It's a little creepy.
Young and sweet.
Only 17.
Yeah. As soon as I started singing that, I was like, oh, that's kind of creepy.
I have a surprise for Yonit.
A surprise?
Surprise for Yonit. So Yonit tolerates me.
What?
I do a lot of stuff without asking her permission first.
Oh, no.
Look what I made.
Ooh, we have bookmarks.
Bookmarks.
It's Shabbat and I'm lost in the pages again. Don't come looking unless you have wine.
I really wanted to surprise you. So I was like, what can I do to make Yonit laugh?
I love it.
And the back forces you to meet each other. The backs that you write your name and your top five fave books and fave authors. And
that's
then,
so cute.
And then you can also angle it so if it's sticking out, like, oh, here's what's my, it means you can talk to me. But if it's the other way around, like, don't talk to me unless you have wine.
This is like the language of flowers, but for book nerds.
For book nerds? What's that?
Language of flowers?
No, I don't know what that is.
Oh, so every bouquet of flowers and every gift of flowers and every thing, it was a way of communicating. So different flowers, different colors and types, and then different things. This is romance. This is friendship. This is betrayal. This is whatever. So I could give
Which
you a bouquet.
Which flowers are betrayal?
I'd have to look it up, but okay.
Because I want to send that.
Right. So someone on Twitter was like, you know, we want to say, we'll meet at midnight, bring the dog. And they're like, okay, here's what you would do. And they had like the whole.
There was a whole layout. Okay, so this is the opposite. This is talk to me while I'm reading because I feel like being interrupted and meeting you, but only if it's talking to me about books. Fair. And the other is don't interrupt me, I'm reading unless you have wine.
I like that.
I feel like that's an okay, we're all fine with being interrupted for wine. So, except today we're talking about YA, which is why we're drinking, didn't need an ID to buy it.
Oh yeah, the sweetest of the sweets. The sweetest drink.
Oh, man. You went to...
Young and sweet.
Young and sweet. 17. Well, I feel like when we were 17, I don't remember there being YA.
No, I don't think so. I skipped straight to adult fiction sci-fi. Mm-hmm. I read all of Stephen King, Asimov. I just... Christie.
Well, yeah, because when I was younger... Even now, is it Target and Little Women was on the middle grade shelf?
Yeah, that's it.
Because I think it is probably meant for middle grade and in young YA, meaning ages 13 to 15.
Yeah.
As an adult, I still enjoy it, but not as much as my sister-in-law who's 14.
Right.
Who loves and knows every line. You know what I mean? Which I did it also at 14.
Right.
So YA now is new. It's not from another century.
There's so much. There's so much. Diversity of genre, of...
Well, somebody was... putting online, what's your hot take about YA? And she said,
so
your hot takes tell me that clearly you haven't read YA in a while because you think it's all about monster sex or something.
Also, love triangles.
And love triangles.
Not a thing.
Yeah.
Generic desires for representation.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Some of these hot takes are hilarious. They're ignoring the fact that teens and adults cross-read all the time. And so, you know, so what?
My favorite hot take I saw was somebody wrote, anything you could get out of YA, you could find an adult fiction book for.
What?
And I went, okay, so here's the thing. YA is not a genre. People think it is. And because they think it is, writers perpetuate stereotypes that they think have to be in their book.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not necessary.
Right.
YA is an age category for which the books have been written. It keeps in mind that this book is not being written in past tense from the perspective of an adult. It's happens to be past tense because it's easier to read that way. And you still have to write from the mindset of a teenager.
Right. I think it's funny because I do remember being in a sophomore in high school and watching Dawson's Creek and loving it until I realized they were supposed to be the same age as me. And I was like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, the way they talked.
I was like, they are definitely not. And first of all, they're all 30 years old.
Yeah.
Besides. But also, just they were acting so much more mature, and their experiences were so different than mine.
Because he slept with the teacher.
I was like, oh, this is not relatable anymore.
No, first of all, they were dealing with things that were illegal and wrong, as if it was just like soap opera drama. Pacey exactly. sleeping with the teacher is illegal and bad. And the fact that she just kind of disappeared and didn't actually get arrested is not real life. And it's not how it would have been handled now.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, at the time, I think they were just trying to take soap operas and make them for teenagers. Actual YA would be like My So-Called Life.
Right.
Right.
Or, what's the one with Topanga and...
Boy Meets World Boy was Meets pretty, World. You know what? That's yeah. really as innocent as we all were.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be not innocent, because that's some of the other hot takes were like, teens also use curse words and like yeah. sex, and they want to, you know, experience that. But mm-hmm. it has to be geared towards them, like, hey, you fellow kids.
You know, hello, fellow kids.
So I'm actually reading a YA series right now. I am like 6 or 7 books into a 12-book series.
What?
From the 90s. And what I'll say, amazingly enough, is that it holds up because except for the fact that you're like, wait, none of these teenagers are using cell phones.
Wait, is it take place in the 90s as well?
Yeah, it's contemporary of the time. It's wow. in the 90s.
That's rare.
But it doesn't feel dated at all, except, like I said, none of the teenagers are using cell phones.
Or, yeah.
Like, I didn't even notice until I thought about it, but that's because I wasn't a teenager with a cell phone. So I wonder if my daughter reads it, or I ask my friend who's 16, or she's 17 now, ask her, hey, when you read this, did you notice?
Oh, interesting.
That it wasn't at the same time.
That's actually a really good question. Is would someone notice that, hey, if you just texted each other, you could solve that quick problem?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Like when we were reading, Wasted Pretty, mm-hmm. right? It was miscommunications happened because there was no way to find each right. other. So you just waited.
You just hope for the best.
Waited in that person's apartment or on the street corner in front of where they worked.
You left
waited.
Notes. You always had paper and a pencil on yeah. you, so you could leave a note.
Yeah.
You know.
And then you were like, oh, let me check my machine when I get home. Maybe if I have a machine.
Or the next day at school, hey, where were you? We were yeah. supposed to meet.
What happened? Oh, man. I wish you'd called. I would have told you. Now
I tried to call. I was like, oh, my sister was on the internet. No, no.
Now it's like a cop out when people don't put phones in. Like, I understand from middle grade, right? Like, they're 12 and 13 and you could find a way around it. But for 14, 15, 16, like, and up. You can't. They have phones.
I don't know. My phone is always dead. So I could be that person who like wacky hijinks happen because my phone is always dead and I can't use it.
But that's not the kind of thing that happens to teenagers, is it? Don't they always find a way to charge their phone?
Oh, maybe the ones who are less conscientious, like me.
I guess you could use that as a plot twist, right? Like plot twist. We're basically in the 90s right now, except we can still ask the person who's walking past us, hey, can I grab your phone for a sec? But how would you remember your friend's number?
We're not. Done. Mm-hmm. We're done.
Totally done. So I just read a contemporary mm-hmm. YA that was really, I haven't read a lot of contemporary YAs. No fantasy, no magic. People have cell phones.
Yeah.
Adi El Sayed, who we interviewed. Mm-hmm. And I was so enthralled with his story that I ended up buying his book called North of Happy. It was, so good. It was about a high school graduate from Mexico City whose older brother was killed. And the prologue is like its own beautiful short story about the search for the perfect taco.
Yeah.
And in that search for the perfect taco, his brother is killed.
Oh, wow.
And afterwards, he decides to kind of like explore and leave. And he comes to the Pacific Northwest to some random island and becomes, you know, a lowly dishwasher in a restaurant. And he's super happy. Right. And I've never read anything like that before. Like a full on contemporary, taking place right now.
Yeah.
YA. That's what she was trying to say about like, oh, your hot takes are outdated.
Right.
There was no love triangles in it. It was just about a teenager trying to act like an adult, but really kind of wishing he had his parents a little bit. And no one's parents were dead.
What?
No one's parents were dead. No sad orphans. Well, have you read any contemporary like 2019 YA as of late?
You know, I really end up reading so much fantasy that's what I have at the top of my head. I'm trying to like sift through and think like what was the last like normal YA I read.
Eye of Minds? Is that YA?
Maybe.
Okay. So what about, did you read the Testing series?
No.
Okay. So the testing is great. Here for the people who are like, oh, what about love triangles? And what about a 16-year-old girl who has to save the world? And what about dystopian? You know what? I walked into a bookstore with my sister Francine and we said to each other, we miss that. God, I miss the Hunger Games. I miss Divergent. Those are my favorite kinds of YA. Those are fun. They're fun. I missed it. And what do? We looked around. Literally, I was like reading all the blurbs for anything that made me feel like I was reading a comp to those books. And then we found the testing in which she's on, it's America later, something's happened where they're living in different colonies. And if you pass a certain test, you get brought to the big city where you get to test for a chance to go to university. Yeah. And what they don't know is if you don't pass, you just disappear.
Ooh.
But to where? Everything's in the hands of a 16-year-old klutzy girl who can trust no one but has amazing skills.
That's pretty legit how it goes.
It is legit how it goes, and it's fantastic.
So you handed me The Eye of Minds, which I did not read, but I may have handed it to you. This is unrelated things.
Oh, you look into it right now?
Yeah, because so Jason Segel from How I Met Your Mother wrote a book. And so he wrote a book that's very similar. So Eye of Minds, it says the VertNet offers total mind and body immersion. The more hacking skills you have, the more fun it is. So he wrote a book, which I'm trying to find, desperately trying to find the title of. Oh, Otherworld. So he wrote a book called Otherworld, which is fantastic. So again, it's the same kind of thing where it's a YA and there is a corporation that has like this great game that you can be totally immersed in. But there's something nefarious.
Of course.
And it's not per se that like, oh, the young adults must save the world, but nobody listens to them when they try and say, hey, something shady's happening. Because who listens to a bunch of teenagers? So because they're not listened to, they have to kind of take on their own thing. And so in this virtual world, they're kind of fighting to find, you know, who's on their side and who's actually behind the conspiracy and what's happening and can they save everyone who's been kind of trapped in this place.
Are all the adults incompetent, evil, or useless?
No, it really is just that they've fallen for the Kool-Aid. Like this company's like, oh, we're helping these people and the teens are like, but no.
Of course it's up to the teens.
So it's up to the teens. So I've read quite a few that are like that, right? Like they stumble onto it. There's one where they legit kill off everyone middle-aged. So it's called, oh gosh, what was it called? I can't remember what it's called, but they take over. Like, so what happens is there's some disease that kills everyone between the ages of 30 and 60 or something like that, or younger. And so it's only teenagers, children, and the elderly. And they have scientific advances. So the elderly are living for a long time. So they're renting the bodies of teenagers so that they can like ride horses or go do gymnastics again. So they're able to like put their mind into the body of a teenager. And so teenagers are doing this to make money because obviously they don't have that whole support system.
Being John Malkovich.
Yeah.
Which was creepy.
Right. So this is like the young adult version. So it was also very creepy. This girl, she doesn't have a support system. So if you had a living grandparent, you were fine. If you didn't have living grandparents, you were toast because your parents are gone.
You know what's so funny is the way that literary fiction is talked about versus the way we talk about this, right? When we talk about this, we're giving plots. We're giving, this is what happens if this happens. There's consequences. Mm-hmm. Teenagers are stumbling upon conspiracies. Mm-hmm. And there's definitive things happening. In literary fiction, people will be like, what's the book about? And you're like, I don't know, but it made me feel really great.
So
what's it about? No, but like it takes place in this beautiful place. And like at the end, I just stared off into the distance because I didn't know what to do next. Because I was like, oh my God, that book was, and by the way, I'm guilty of this. I've done that. People go, what's it about? And I go, I'm not explaining it. Just read it. That's literary fiction. With YA, I can be like, oh my God, it's about this girl who falls in love with the werewolf. You'll love it if you like Twilight. Like, that's easy.
So I've got one for you. This is my recommendation for you.
Death Note.
So it's called Death Note.
Yeah.
It's actually a manga. You know, you can find it in English.
Oh.
So I own a copy. I can loan it to you.
Yeah.
So what I like about it, so it's not light and fluffy. It's dark psychological. So there's some fantasy elements. So the idea is that a teenager finds a notebook that has Death Note and a bunch of rules inside that if you write someone's name in it, they'll die.
Oh, yes. You mentioned this to me. And I was like obsessed. I'm like, where is my copy? Bring it over already. You know?
It's like gigantic copy. So I was...
The power of that.
So the whole thing is that it's the struggle between what is justice. Is mm-hmm. it justice to kill bad people? Is it justice to stop the person who's killing bad people? Who is the right person? Because now it's two teenagers up against each other. Two precocious teenagers who have power beyond their means.
And it's like such a moral discussion. See, this is why I got so upset when that Sarah Dessen thing happened, right? Sarah Dessen thing was there was some advisory committee made up of students and graduate students talking about which books to recommend or to include in the curriculum. And one female student had said something about that Sarah Dessen's books were YA and they were good enough for teen girls, but that's it. Like, or something like that.
So it turns out that they went back and they had included other YA, but diverse YA.
She meant this book.
Yeah.
This book is not for everyone. It's for this group. But the way it was taken was, it's just for teen girls. Yep. Nobody else would want to read this garbage. Like, that's how it was taken. And her fans went nutballs.
Things teen boys like are cool. Things teen girls like are vapid and stupid.
Right.
Which is a thing we hear. This is not what this girl was saying.
We hear this, but that's not what she was saying. No. Her fans went crazy and started trying to bully her online and get her information.
Got involved.
Yeah. It was a whole mess. And Sarah Dessen felt really bad about it. She's like, this is not what I intended. I was just trying to defend YA.
Right.
Like, and that's, you know, where I'm coming from is YA, just because it's got a female protagonist and it's about a 17-year-old doesn't mean it's not going to have moral questions that you can discuss as a group. Even my son, when he wanted to read my manuscript, he goes, of course I'll read it. I read books with female protagonists all the time. Hello, I read all the Star Wars books.
Exactly.
And those aren't all about guys. And I was like, you know what? He makes a good point. In his world, because he's being raised in a world where Star Wars commissions these amazing books and you have to read all of them and sometimes they feature the female main character.
That's right.
In that world, 12-year-old boys pick up any book that's handed to them that they think you'll think they like, regardless of gender.
Right.
And so this was not this hot take that this graduate student had was not necessarily on point.
Yeah, for sure not.
Right.
I think it's also, you know, for people who want to say that they want to understand other people, maybe you should read some of the things that they're reading to understand what are teenage girls thinking about. If you want to know what teenage girls are doing and thinking and feeling, maybe pick up a book that they like.
Although, they're not written by teenage girls.
For sure not. But if it's something they like, then you'll get it. You know?
I mean, hold on. They're really not. You know what I mean? Like, I'm writing a book about 12-year-olds. I'm not 12.
Sure.
I just happened to capture the voice of a 12-year-old well enough where someone was like, you know, your book's clearly about 12-year-olds. And I thought I was capturing 16 and I wasn't. You know, like, you just kind of are able to capture a voice or not. So Nova Rensuma, who is a Jewish author who I'm just about to start getting into. She had a story in It's All Spiel. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was like, I want all of the contributors to It's All Spiel. I want all their books.
That's the idea.
That's why they do it. And this is a contemporary for teenage girls. I'm going to read the blurb. Is that okay?
Sounds good.
Chloe's older sister, Ruby, is the girl everyone looks to and longs for, who cannot be captured or caged. After a night with Ruby's friends goes horribly wrong and Chloe discovers a dead body floating in the reservoir, Chloe's sent away from home, away from Ruby. But Ruby will do anything to get her sister back. And when Chloe returns home at last, she finds a precarious and deadly balance waiting for her. As Chloe flirts with the truth that Ruby is hidden deeply away, the fragile line between life and death is redrawn by the complex bonds of sisterhood. Called Imaginary Girls by Nova Rensuma. I also grabbed a room away from the wolves. This sounds like a contemporary with a darker, mysterious element.
We had, oh my gosh. Oh, what
I'm
was
excited
that?
To read it.
Cynthia Voigt.
Okay.
She had some pretty edgy for her time YA. Like, I do remember her existing. Like,
yes,
she had
kicks
books.
It up a notch. Yes, there was something. There was something.
You
right?
know, there was always, you know, there was some homelessness. There was maybe some abuse.
Yes.
Orphans. There's always some kind of orphans. Like the
message
struggles.
Of the week.
Yeah. I mean, yes and no, but hers were always pretty solid. I don't remember them being too preachy because sometimes you can tell this is a teenage book meant to teach me a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Like nobody wants
like Babysitter's
that.
Club, right? Like somebody makes Stacy eat, that kind of a thing.
Yeah. So that you feel like you're being preached at. Nobody wants that.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I think what I like the most about right now is that there are enough different genres that anyone can find the one they like.
Right. YA is not one genre. If you're out there thinking that YA is Divergent, Twilight, The Testing, you know, you're wrong.
Yeah. There's so many books.
There are so many books. They're not all about a 16-year-old klutzy girl who discovers it's her job to save the world.
Right. Sometimes it's a klutzy boy.
Right. Sometimes it's the Maze Runner. But they're not all dystopians. I think that for a while there, it was
really hot.
The thing.
So hot.
But that doesn't mean it was the only thing.
My daughter was so funny. She was, for a while, only reading dystopian novels. Mm-hmm. I would try and recommend something to her, and she was like, I'm sorry, does it take place in a dystopia? I'm interested. I was like, okay.
I mean, there's balances. Like, did you read The Hazelwood by Melissa Albert yet?
No.
That one was great. I lent it to my sister, and it grabs you right from the first line. But yeah, that's a fairy tale kind of, but it's in Manhattan. So she kind of gets wrapped up in this story. And so it's not quite dystopian.
Right.
It's magical realism, so to speak.
I have, like, in my YA section, which is not complete.
It's just, but look how big it is.
So there's some paranormal, there's some sci-fi, there's a little dystopian, a little skim, there's a romance. Mm-hmm. This is a dystopian, but like a parallel.
Which one? Beyond the Dark and Born?
Secondborn. She is, so the secondborn.
By
Amy Bartel. So the idea of that one is that she's the secondborn. And it's very much like the aristocracy. The secondborn really is given to the government to be a soldier, even though she is the head, like her parents are like very high in the government. So everyone just assumes that they're going to be forgiven. But no, her mom is like a very hardliner. So they send her off to the military. And she doesn't take too kindly to this.
Well,
you know.
Yeah.
And so that's part of what they were afraid of, is that she ends up being very dangerous and she hooks up with some like rebels and stuff.
Of course she does.
I've got magic. I've got, oh, this one was great. Now a Major Motion Picture was the one I was telling
you
about.
That's the name of the book.
That's the name of the book. So this is by,
Now a Major Motion Picture.
By Corey McCarthy. So this book I thought was super fabulous. It's about, she's a teenager whose grandmother was the female Tolkien of the generation. And so they're turning her books into movies, and she's on set because her little brother's obsessed. She herself is super jaded about all the attention it gets her, and she was estranged from that grandmother and never really knew anything about it. And so it's her, like, trying to avoid fame. But now she's in Ireland on set with the actors, like, befriending them and just really finding a family with the people she thinks of as crazy fans.
Mm.
So also very contemporary.
Family. Mm-hmm. Is a running theme that you can find in a lot of contemporaries.
Yes.
That actually crosses over a little bit into the dystopians too.
Oh, definitely.
Where, although in the dystopians, it's sometimes I thought I had a found family and they betrayed me. Mm-hmm. Whereas in contemporary, it can often be my actual family betrayed me.
Yes.
And now I have a found family, and that can lead to like a classroom discussion.
Yeah.
You know, this whole, we have to assign teenagers, you know, classics. Well, hello. A separate piece was a YA. The Chosen was a YA. Right. They were YAs.
Right.
They were written for the teenage reader to connect to and to feel the same struggle.
Look at Ender's Game.
Yes.
So
that's
someone,
a classic.
Well, someone's like, oh, I recommended it really. So here, I read it when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And then in college, it was in my sci-fi literature class. And the professor said, listen, reading it now as an adult made me really see things very differently. And I was like, oh, that's weird. I don't reread things. I reread it and I was like, okay, I'm 20 years old.
Oh, wow.
It. Okay. I read it again after my kids were born.
And oh,
I read
that's
it,
hard.
I read it again with my son when he was like 11 or 12. And every time of the week, so when I was a teenager, I didn't think of them as being little kids. I just pictured them as being older. And so then when I'm an adult, I picture them being little kids. And I'm like, this is wrong. So I think that it's one of those things that everyone gets it, like watching Toy Story together.
Yeah.
You know, everyone takes away what they're going to take away from it. So it's worth rereading it.
Like watching The Breakfast Club and feeling sympathy with the teacher.
Yes. You're like, oh, this kids are
these
the worst.
Kids, they have one thing to do. And that's sit there and just. Like, they did something wrong. That's why they're there.
Right, 100%.
Right? Like,
no sympathy for them.
And he is just trying to make extra money because he's a teacher. He doesn't get paid well.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off, you feel for the dad in his car.
Oh, my God. I feel, you know, you've hit a certain age when you were like, Benny from Rent was right.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
All he wanted to do was give his friends a free space, and he was going to let homeless people live there, and he was going to build this beautiful artist studio for the community. All he wanted was to be able to make money to afford to do that by renting out apartments above it. And they were like, how dare you? Right. And I'm like, you know what? Other than the fact that he cheated on his wife, Benny was right about the building.
So if you read YA, you have to understand you're not necessarily getting the same thing out of it.
Yeah.
But you can still enjoy it.
Well, that's why I think it's the perspective of the characters is super important when you're reading it, right? Mm-hmm. Like a close like right over their shoulder perspective is what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. That first person narrative or the third person narrative that you really only seeing over the shoulder of the main character so that you don't get a chance to sympathize with the adults. Because yes. If you found out what the adult motivations were, you might agree with them.
Right. I think that's it. I think that's it. Because when we're younger, we don't know why they're being mean or not letting us do what we want to do. Like, we don't have that long view.
Yeah. So. I mean, even as a mom, I've definitely said to my kids, like, you guys, do I really have to do this? Long term, you're eventually going to figure it out. I was right. Can you just accept it now?
Like, can we just skip this whole
thing? Can we skip the conversation? Figure out that I'm right, and like later on in life, go, oh, thank God I listened. Now God's not punishing me with kids like I was. You know what I mean?
If only that's how it works.
And you know what? I have a teenager, and he and I share books because a good book is a good book. And
when we say definitely.
In defense of YA, what we mean is a good book's a good book. When I was reading Adi Al-Said's book, North of Happy, I genuinely felt as emotionally attached and as enthralled and reading it in one sitting as I did when I read the Bar Harbor Retirement Home for Writers and Their Muses, yes. Where I was at the end going, oh, that's how I felt. And it was YA.
Have you ever read Lion Boy by no. Zuzu Korder? Okay. I want to.
It's beautiful though.
Okay. First of all, this is not even one of the best covers, but this was a book that so it's about the 10-year-old main character. So the book just made me say wow and to like hold it and just sit there processing multiple times. So when his parents are kidnapped, what's 10-year-old Charlie Ashanti to do? Rescue them. That's what. He doesn't know who has taken his parents or why, but he does know that one special talent will aid him on his journey. His amazing ability to speak cat. Charlie calls on his clever feline friend. So it sounds like Dr. Dolittle, but I'm telling you it's not. It's very gritty.
I love Dr. Dolittle.
But it's not, but it's very gritty. So it's in a future time. When the,
as long as it's not
I don't
cats.
Know how much I can give away without spoilers. So the idea is that his parents are scientists and their research is jeopardizing the government's stranglehold on certain industries.
Okay.
So they are kidnapped.
It's like Gunslinger Girl.
Yes.
Something is jeopardizing the government and the government is secretly working with the rebels. And yes, I totally understand.
So they kidnap the parents and then he has to go find them. So it's super gritty. He ends up trying, you know, he has to find cats and people who will help him. Mm-hmm. He's 10. Yeah. He only has so many life skills to get him by.
Right. And you think about yourself when you were 10.
I mean, he happens obviously very precocious because you can't.
Sure. The fact that the book's about him in the first place means he's got some survivor instincts.
But multiple times while reading that book, I just went, wow. Like the way it's put together, the way it's written.
Because good writing is good writing.
That blurb does not do it justice. I'm actually sad about that blurb because.
Oh, because you wish it was better?
Yeah, because it makes it sound like, oh, it's so cute. He goes and he talks to cats and then that. No, it's like.
You know what blurb is just as bad as its trailer? Cats.
Oh. Did you see the new trailer? There's less boobs?
Yes, but more nightmare fuel.
They like put Rebel Wilson's cat, they put a vest on her because everyone complained about the boobs.
And then the one cat. Who's wearing a fur and somebody commented
that's Judy
like,
Dench. That's Dame Judy Dench.
And someone's like, what kind of fur is the cat wearing? Is she wearing other
now,
cats?
I know that you're allergic to cats, so you don't maybe have a lot of experience with cats.
Or affinity for them.
I legit could see a cat wearing a fur. Like that just seems on brand.
Of another cat that they took down.
That seems on brand.
That does seem on brand. I was just like, no.
I killed a bunch of mice and then made a cloak out of their furs.
Oh, God. I couldn't. Thing. That trailer, I was like, I need a moment.
They
I need a break.
It's
still cats. And you know what? Drama nerds, like the hardcore, and that's a compliment, the word drama nerd.
Yeah.
That's, we call ourselves book nerds. Drama nerds who are like committed to even the bad stuff.
Yeah.
They're like, it's so bad, it's good. They'll be into it. But if you're not a hardcore diehard, you'll know it when you watch that trailer. You'll know instinctively. You know what? I need a moment. We'll be right back. think I'm recovered because I'm holding Marcus Zusak's book, Underdogs, which is The Underdog, Fighting Reuben Wolf, and Getting the Girl, which are all the trilogy in one book. Mm-hmm. Here's the deal. This is not The Book Thief.
I haven't read that one yet.
Oh, that was spectacular. The Book Thief was a rare World War II find where I, like, everyone thinks that all Holocaust fiction from World War II, it's got to be about Jewish characters.
Yeah.
This one wasn't about, the main character wasn't the Jewish character. There was a Jewish character in it, but we didn't, that wasn't the story.
Mm.
And it was okay.
Okay.
Because it was accurate.
It wasn't Boy in the Striped Pajamas.
It wasn't Boy in the Striped Pajamas. Yeah. We talked a little bit about that. Maybe we'll do that in another episode about the terribleness of making us feel bad for the non-Jewish kid who gets stuck in the gas chamber with the Jewish kid. And we're going, no, you're not supposed to be there. And then afterwards, you're like, no one's supposed to be there. But you're, it's so manipulative to make me even think that for a moment. And as a Jew, I felt victimized by that. Yeah. Manipulation. I didn't like that. Nope. Also, it wasn't accurate.
Right. Oh, gosh. So
that
many...
kid would have been dead the first day. He wouldn't have made it that far.
Right. Like, the kid would be allowed to talk to a kid through the fence. Like, come on. You think there's not guards watching either of them?
Right. What? It was all bad, but this was okay.
Okay.
The Book Thief was wonderful. A lot of my students said it was their favorite book of all time. Worth it. Marcus Zusak wrote a series called Underdogs.
Okay.
which... I mean, they market it as before The Book Thief. He wrote a trilogy of novels about the Wolf brothers. They like to get into fights.
Getting the Girl?
Yeah, they like to get the girl, get into fights, have half-baked schemes, and they disappoint their parents, and they fight a lot. They fight, they punch a lot. Basically,
they're teenage boys.
Yes, they're teenage boys, but I feel like Marcus Zusak worked out all of his, like, passion project things that no one would ever really get into in this book so that he could get it all out of his system.
Good.
And then write a good book afterwards for The Book Thief.
That's good.
So I made the mistake of going, I'm going to read this, not realizing this came out before The Book Thief. This came out before he perfected his style. It was terrible for me. You can, if you disagree with me, let me know out there, but you know.
I'll tell you. So Ready Player One got cult status.
Okay.
The book, the movie. You read that one?
No, but my son and my husband love it.
You should. You might enjoy it.
Okay.
It was good. It was a good book. I enjoyed it. His second book, on the other hand, the second book, is basically the entire plot from The Last Starfighter.
Yeah.
It's as if teenage boy wrote his dreams down.
Weird.
Get the girl, save the day, meet the dad you never met. Like... You know,
if you're going to do that, you have to be meta. If you're going to do that, you have to. I've mentioned Denton Little's death date.
Mm-hmm.
In Denton Little, he's aware and he mentions it. He's like, and then I'm dancing. And it's basically like one of those movies where all of a sudden the hero kicks butt and everyone claps. That's me right now. I know they're only clapping because I'm sick, so they feel bad for me. I don't care. My dance moves are awesome. Like, it's hyper aware of the fact that, like, he's making fun of these other books where people are fulfilling their dreams through these fantasies. And he's like really not fulfilling his fantasies.
Right.
Yeah.
So I actually found, I remembered that. So Christopher Paolini wrote The Aragon Cycle, which is a pretty famous book about dragons and a boy who finds and raises a dragon. He wrote it in high school and then published it. So it gets a lot of flack for its writing style and, you know, this and that. But I enjoyed it when I was a teen. I read them all and I liked them. I don't know how I would feel about them now, but I would definitely recommend them. They're on there. And he wrote it as a teen. So we were talking about how it's often adults writing with a teen.
It always is. Right.
So I wonder if, I mean, I liked it as a teen. I didn't feel like the voice was stilted or wrong.
He could have just been a really good writer.
Yeah.
And so, that's really what it is.
Yeah.
If you're good, you're good.
That's it. That's it. So I think there are so many, I'm just flipping through. I had romance. I did have some contemporary, a lot of fantasy, lots and lots of fantasy, sci-fi. There's another one where there's a teenager. She's at a club dancing and she's kidnapped because a princess has made her look like a doppelganger so that she can be taken back because she's off out on curfew and she wants to continue partying. And so they swap identities against their will. So it's a little Prince and the Pauper, except that now she has to pretend to be the princess until they figure out where the real princess is, or it'll start in an intergalactic war.
Of course it will.
Yeah. And the bodyguard is?
Hot.
And?
17.
And?
Straight.
And?
What?
In love with her.
Oh. No. I was like, are we going for all of the obvious stuff?
He's an alien, so okay. He's not technically white, I guess. Okay. You know, but he's in love with her, obviously.
I was going to say, they always make it the brooding YA hero.
Oh, you know what I mean? Good.
The obviously white, but described in a way that he could be another ethnicity, but he isn't.
That Twitter, I'm following it. It's just like, you know, maybe I'll insult her a little bit after lunch so that she'll know that I like her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, no, don't do that. No, stop.
I can't with the whole, he's only mean to you because he likes you. Don't teach that to girls. Otherwise, it'll end up in a YA book.
It's not a thing.
It's not okay. Like, that's the thing, was these books have an opportunity with YA, that contemporary at least, that other adult books aren't doing, is they're throwing in teenagers who are more evolved, I guess, than we were as teenagers.
Yeah.
Because that's how they are.
Well, look at Buffy, excuse me. Yeah. Buffy would not suffer any nonsense from nobody.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Exactly. You always have to have your main characters of your YA to be aspirational. And, like, it's just normalizing things that everyone in the adults are still debating about. Like, to have a trans character in a book where it's just not a big deal.
Yeah.
Where at the in The Wise and the Wicked, where the adults are all still debating about it, but the teenager's like, oh, that's cool. Is that your binder? Like, it's just part of the book. You don't find that in adult fiction as often. Adult fiction is like, let's explore this for 50 pages. Whereas in, you know, in teenage stuff, it's like, this is our life.
And
well, that's just because that's how it is for them in real life. It's just things are easier to accept when you're young.
I just, thinking about Buffy, I do also love that she's not bookish.
Yeah.
She's not the smart one.
No, she's not.
Not at all. Like, and I like that.
I feel so called out. I love a bookish YA hero.
No, so I do as well, but I feel like, so we talked about this just in the world of Lean In,
yeah,
that, you know, we need a lot of mediocre women too.
That's
true. I'm sorry. Like, we can't all be wonderful, kick-ass, good at every single thing. That is not a compelling protagonist.
They have to fail.
It can't just be, oh, I have a flaw. Oh my God, my flaw is that I have too many shoes. My flaw is that, like, I want to, like, dye my hair. Oh, my flaw is that, like,
I'm Jennifer Lawrence and I just trip all the time when I'm on red carpets.
Like, I'm sorry, that's not a flaw.
That's a flaw.
A flaw is, like, you know, I'm not nice to my family. Or a flaw is, like, I'm cheating at math and I'm really not good. Or my flaw is, like, I don't know. There's so many possible flaws.
Well, it's more than one. We're also getting now main characters, like leads, especially for the books that are coming out in 2020 for YA. I've seen a ton of them where the lead is a main character from a different country, from a different culture, of a different color, and they're being marketed to American young adult audiences, and they're ready for it.
I'm loving it. So there's a few that I read. There's Eon and Iona is a series that I read. Those were fabulous. Fonda Lee writes some great, I don't know.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's so funny because, like, I don't know if she's considered YA, but, like, one of the books I read, the main character was in school still.
Well, it's like Naomi Novik. She's not tech. She's not considered YA.
You know.
She's considered adult, but her protagonists are teenagers. That's not the same thing. Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know where that they fall technically. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But
Then again, what makes it YA? And so that's the real question. Is someone will say, well, you know, this doesn't have a YA voice, even though this is a 17-year-old dealing with 17-year-old problems. It's clearly for an older audience. Mm. And again, it's about whether or not the perspective is as reflective. Mm-hmm. Like, now that I'm older, I reflect upon what I've been through. And a lot of times you'll see, I'm actually going to grab a random one and see. A lot of times YA will be written in first person, present. In order to give off more of a, it helps the writer at least write with more awareness of being a teenager if you write in present tense.
But
a lot of times they'll write it that way and then switch it to past tense after that I'm writing. The idea being, like, self-awareness, like, you have to think of yourself as a teenager while you're writing. And anytime you feel like writing a line, like, back then I was so innocent. No. You don't even have, that whole line goes, just be innocent.
Just be innocent.
Just be innocent.
So Fonda Lee herself says that this is an adult book.
Yeah.
So fine.
That's probably why. That's probably the difference, is the awareness of time having passed since the occasion happened.
She has multiple characters in the story. The idea is that it's multiple clans that live on this island that produces magical jade.
Okay.
And so one clan in particular, it talks about multiple people within the clan. The head of the clan the son who's running the clan because the head is quite ill, all the way down to the adopted son who's still in school. And so, you know, so I guess I considered it YA because I felt like a lot of it was his story. Mm. He is kind of a pawn now between clans because he hasn't technically graduated yet. So even though he's adopted into this one by the family that runs the one clan, he could.
So it felt like YA to you because his, like, he was the pawn here.
Yeah, I felt like he was the one of the main characters, but I could see that, like, it could be the older brother who he's holding the burden. So it kind of, it, actually, she's really good at having multi-perspective.
You know, I feel like that's what it is. It's about perspective. I read Alice Hoffman's Incantation. Have you read that one yet?
No.
It's a one-sitting book. It's a one-sitting book. It's a book in three parts, so it's not chapters, which means there's no natural stopping point because the cliffhanger at the end of each third, and you're like, ah! And it's brilliant, but it's technically, it's categorized as YA. But at no point did I feel like I was reading YA, and that's when it started making me question what I think YA is. Mm. It is YA. It is written from the perspective of this main character girl who is living at the time of, you know, the long Spanish Inquisition.
Okay.
And they're slowly but surely rooting out Jews in her town. And then she learns that she too is a Jew. And she doesn't know that because her family has hidden it and only tells you when you hit a certain age, and she hasn't hit that age yet. And it's her friend becomes jealous of her because she stole her boyfriend. Like, it's stuff that would happen between teenagers. But then what happens? It's like The Crucible. What happens when the girl whose boyfriend you stole finds out you're a Jew during the Inquisition?
Right.
She turns you in.
Yeah, she is.
And now she does. So because it's such a heavy topic, people were like, it's not YA. And it made me, but you know what?
Stars, we read some heavy stuff.
And that was middle grade and YA. That's right. It is allowed to be heavy and also be written so that young adults will feel like it's for them.
So it's funny because I was reading The Rules of Magic.
Yes.
So now I'm thinking back. So I'm like looking it up.
Is it YA?
I don't know. I have to look it up because it is written from the point of view of, were we naive? We didn't know.
There's a lot of retrospect. Yes.
You know, all the characters, even the cousin who is like super crazy, like she has to settle down. It's all about them like figuring out their place and embracing their identity. And, you know, it is somewhat retrospective in that. It's very, and now I'm like thinking like all these books, are they?
There's just a lot of retrospect. There's a lot of looking back and going, oh, remember the day when.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not YA.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. Okay. Alice Hoffman's new book, The World That We Knew, yes, it features young people, but it's not categorized as YA because it's not technically like about young people issues, right? And they're not, and it's a lot of it's retrospect, a lot of it's the narrative changes. You're Googling, like,
I'm like Googling everything. I'm like,
Google
every book.
Define young adult fiction.
I don't know. Now,
Google it.
Oh, Google it.
Do it, Yoni. Do it.
What?
I mean, if you're out there listening and you're like, oh, young adult fiction is basically any book that stars a teenager, you're wrong.
We're wrong.
And if it's, oh, it's any book where there's a love triangle and it's dystopian fiction, you're wrong.
So young adult fiction is a category of fiction written for readers from 12 to 18 years of age. While the genre is targeted to teenagers, approximately half of YA readers are adults.
Yeah, we are.
The subject matter and genres of YA correlate with the age and experience of the protagonist.
You know, there's a lot of teenagers working as interns and helping at these publishing houses curate lists. But there's also a lot of writers and adults who are YA writers, and they're helping. Oh, yeah. I mean, hello. We've got the Cinder series is YA, right? Think about it. I mean, all these series, you're looking at different. Oh, yeah. The Hate U Give.
These are all like.
Did you read The Hate U Give yet?
No. You know, it's funny. I like, as much as I, first of all, who finished their Goodreads challenge?
Not me.
Oh, but I did. I'm 9 books over.
But suckers. I've been reading a lot of really short books.
Right. So me a little bit also.
But I'm literally counting. Like, someone sent me a children's book for us to review for another episode. And I'm like, this counts.
It totally counts.
It counts. I put it in my Goodreads. It
totally counts. You can send it to me next.
I'll put it in mine too. It's adorable. But,
you know, so I read so many books. And yet I feel like I'll never make a dent in the amount of books that I've been told I should read.
Yes.
Or that I've personally decided.
Like me going, read The Hate U Give. And you're like, eventually.
I'll get there someday.
I will get there someday. Meanwhile, she's on like book 3. You know what I mean?
What gets me is that, you know, so we follow a lot of readers on Twitter. People who read, people who write. And then, you know, they recommend books. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I add them to my list. I'm like, it's getting longer. And then every once in a while I go and I'm like, okay, I've already added it to my to read pile. Phew.
all the time.
It's already here. Well, excellent.
That's what Goodreads is to me, is that wall on Goodreads where you're basically seeing what someone else is up to.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, what are they reading? Ooh, what are they? They read in French. I didn't know they read in French. Like, you're stalking someone else's reading habits, mm-hmm. which means they're stalking my reading habits.
Uh-oh. So you should be careful about that, because a friend of mine revealed something that she's into that maybe she doesn't want everybody to know that she's into.
Hilarious. Now I want to know who it is.
But the best part was that I didn't know. Secrets. I'm like, that's weird. And then I looked it up. I'm like, oh.
Oh, do you read this?
I didn't say anything. I'm like, no, it's definitely something that in polite company I wouldn't even
know. No, it's like that Twitter video of that woman on the New York subway. Dressed as a dominatrix, and there's some guy with a mask on hanging, and she's beating him, and he's like wearing nothing but underwear. And people are like, first of all, she's doing it wrong. Second of all, the public did not consent to that. And all I could think is, well, we all know what you like now. Like, once you post it, right? Like, it's Goodreads is like beating somebody else up in public. Like, everyone sees what you're into.
That's right.
That's what that is. That's the perfect corollary.
You know, some people are ashamed of their reading choices.
Yeah, and, I'm not.
You know, I'm totally not.
You hand me books upside down and I'm like, flip them over. I'm like, what's this? Okay,
so that's sometimes because covers of books are beyond the pale.
Well, there was on Real Housewives in New Jersey, one of the Dolores, she said her son got offered modeling jobs posed for book covers.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, why don't you get me one and I'll read it. And then she's like, I had to put it down because, I mean, we're supposed to picture my son as that character. And it was too racy. And I'm like, you can't believe you were like, honey, I'll read the book. Of course she offered. Her son was on a book cover.
No, you should know better. Come on.
You should know better. If your son is modeling shirtless on a racy book cover, then you should probably not read it.
I mean, that's probably a good rule.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Buy it. Support him.
And then
give it away.
There's a book series that was super fun. That I read, it was is it YA? I don't know. They're all in high school.
I think that counts, isn't it?
You know, it could be YA. So it's called Perfect Chemistry.
Okay.
And
sounds like a YA title.
The trope
is. But it's got a romance cover.
Of course it's a romance cover, because the trope is a fresh urban twist in the classic tale of star-crossed lovers.
Okay.
So they're...
She's a lab partner with him.
She's the perfect one. He's in a gang from the wrong side of the tracks.
Oh, it's West Side Story.
Chemistry happens. And so he's a bad boy and he knows it. And then he even does a little Taming of the Shrew, like a bet to see like,
oh my God,
if I can get together with
him. This is YA.
Totally YA.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it immensely. And it's in a series because it also, then it talks about his brother who's like super, has a lot of potential, and they're trying to get him to not join the gang.
I just
and
did not
make the same mistakes.
Realize that there was YA romances.
Really?
Yeah. You know, for some reason, people had this whole discussion on Twitter about like clean versus not clean YA. And but they meant by clean was there's no sex in it and there's no cursing in it, right?
Okay.
And maybe no references to getting your period or whatever. Like that was like the meant to be clean. And everything else wasn't. But that doesn't, a book that has sex doesn't make it a romance novel.
No, for sure not.
Romance is its own genre. 100%. So I kind of didn't realize that there was romance YA.
Oh,
romance for teens about teens.
Toast my goats. And it's amazing.
That's awesome.
And they're the same age.
Because I was reading really age-inappropriate romance as a teenager.
Yeah, also. But these are both, they're both seniors in high school.
Yeah.
It's not, so I, sometimes you'll see, like, the girl who kicked the hornet's nest.
Yeah.
So she is sort of an adult, probably, although they're very cagey about her actual age.
Yes.
But she is definitely being groped,
she's trying to be aged out of the system.
And ogled by people well over her age.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, first of all, not a romance. Second of all, like, so the fact that these are both teenagers,
mm-hmm.
it's not like, oh, he's in college. No. They are both the same age.
That's good.
And they're falling in love.
Because I'm tired of the pacey teacher thing. And I'm tired of the, you know, listen, not every sexual relationship has to be some inappropriate, horrible, he's 25, she's 15.
Or he could be my brother. Thank you, Cassandra Clare, for that one.
Oh, no.
It was so gross.
He could be my brother.
Her
That's
prequels,
the worst trope ever.
Her prequels were like great steampunk. I enjoyed them. They were fun. Then I was like, oh, there's a Jewish vampire. That's so great. I like that.
Fun.
Then the possible incestuous love story happened. And, oh, but I love him anyway. But he could be my brother. I can't feel this
way. It's that flowers in the attic garbage. But I feel this way
and I can't handle it. I'm like, no, just handle it. Move on.
Just move on. There's other men in the world. And that's the other thing with YA is, like in The Little Mermaid, it acknowledges that when you are 15 or 16, that you truly believe there are no other, you know, love partners for you. You can't
think beyond the rest of your life.
This person that I'm in love with is the one. Right. And I've been seeing some more YA contemporaries where there's breakups. Mm. And people just kind of move on.
Yeah.
And like they stay friends or they're cool with each other or they just don't talk to each other. But there's been more breakups in YA. It's not normal for things to just.
Is Pretty Little Liars YA?
Yeah, of course it is. Because these teenagers imagine themselves to be able to behave like adults. It's from the perspective of the teenagers.
Right.
These are teenagers who truly believe that they're able to behave this way and they're permitted to do so. That is not retrospective. That is in the middle. They're in the middle of it.
So that's like, what is this YA? Is this YA? Is this YA?
It starts a teenager. I'm like, oh, what about that book? And that book.
It's funny because sometimes I hate that they're teenagers. Like yeah. I actually did try and go back because I never watched My So-Called Life as a teen.
You've watched it now.
No, I watched part of an episode. And I was like, I want to reach in the TV and slap every single character. So I should just not because.
Well, there's a podcast I listen to, which is basically where these two people rewatch. One of them rewatches it now, my mm-hmm. age. And the guy that she is, you know, co-hosting with has never seen it.
Okay.
And they are both like, oh my God. Jordan Catalano broke up with her because she wouldn't have sex with him. Why did I think he was hot? Like, he's exactly. the worst. And then he slept with her friend. Why did I think they should get back together? He's terrible. If I were the mother. Like, it was all this stuff.
Because we're the mothers now.
I
know. I tried to watch. So it's funny. The opposite. I tried to watch Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah.
And I could not relate to the cool kids who I was supposed to, who were like smoking under the bleachers.
Oh.
I related to the kids who were playing D&D. So what happens is if Freaks and Geeks, maybe you haven't seen it.
I have.
Okay. So the sister is breaking away from the freak geek into like a more mainstream coolness.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time I'm like, no, I would be friends with your brother, not you.
It's like the end of that story in Hitzel Hochspiel where you were like, hey, what's wrong with what they were doing in that basement? They were just playing games.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, so those kids are represented now too. And exactly. I like that. The way it works is there's room for everyone in every book genre. Because when I read one book in a genre, I'm like, I want to read more of it. I didn't buy one of Nova Rensoma's books. I bought two.
Yeah.
Like that's how it goes. And you go, oh, I've read one. I'm going to read another. And that's what you do. It's what you do. People binge read an author. And then when they're done with that author, they're like, who else is in the genre? That's what they do. So if you're out there going, oh, there's not enough room in this genre for everybody. There is room for every book.
Exactly. Because everyone wants you. It's funny because occasionally I come up for air. I'm like, okay, I should read something that's not from Victorian England.
Yeah.
Maybe just for a little bit. Or, you know, I did like 4 dragon stories in a row. Maybe I should try something else.
Hold back on the dragons for a day.
I know.
Yeah.
I actually wrote a blog post about right now I'm reading a gritty crime drama with murdery murders.
Wait, tell everyone where you can find your blog.
Oh, I'm blogging at, it's new. So Read, Play, Knit.
Read, Play, Knit. I love it. Yeah.
So I'm reading a gritty crime drama.
Yeah.
I'm reading a fluffy, the YA paranormal romance series.
Okay.
And then I'm also reading another paranormal romance where they're adults just being paranormal romantics.
Okay.
So, but they're all very different from each other because the YA one, I want to say hilarious, is much more of serious tone than the other paranormal romance I'm reading, which is very like kooky and happy-go-lucky. And
I think that's what people forget is that you can have 3 or 4 vampire books and they're nothing alike.
All right. So the YA one is like very serious.
Yeah.
You know, she's trying to, who is she and why is she having these visions and she needs to discover who she is. And they're dealing with like really heavy stuff. In the other one, she's like, I'm in a tiki bar and I've driven my golf carts too fast down the street. And now my werewolf boyfriend is chasing me because I wasn't supposed to be blah, blah, blah.
It's I'm silly. Like,
hilarious. Exactly.
It's silly.
So I'm reading like heavy, 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 less heavy, super not heavy.
I read a book that made me laugh out loud that wasn't YA, just a couple lines from it. And I was like, wow, the last time a book made me laugh out loud. Like, it was called The Sonic of the Seven Wonders. Someone recommended it to me online by Isadora Heil Bloom. I mean, it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. It made no sense. It was like a bad attempt at Hitchhikers. Mm. But one of the main characters, his nickname is The Tzaddik, and he, everything he says comes out in Yiddish, and even the way he speaks is like inverted, and no one understands him half the time, and I love every one of his jokes. Like, every line he said, I was dying, I was cracking up, and I was like, what's the last time I laughed out loud? So, like, you can read a funny book and then jump into a serious book, and a lot of YA has a tendency to go do both. I think Denton Little, I laughed and I was sad in both.
Yeah.
I know that I'm looking forward to reading Don't Read the Comments by Eric Smith, which is coming out soon. So I'm really excited about that. There's a lot of books coming out right now that have all those clever kinds of titles.
Yeah. So So Diane Wynne Jones, I've mentioned before, but she has some books that are, the main characters are 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
Get super dark. Super dark.
I will say this though. Keep in mind, these books were written, so wait, before you review them, they were written to appeal to the reading levels oftentimes of 14 to 18 year olds or 12. So you have to read them, read one or two, you'll get used to it. Once you get used to it, you can start reviewing. Until you do that, if you review, this book was too immature for me, the writing style was way too low level for me, it wasn't written for you.
Right. So it's funny because Ian Colfer has the Artemis Fowl books.
Yeah.
And the first time I read it, I was like, there are so many fart jokes. And then I was like, maybe should I? I don't know. No, my son will love it because of all the fart jokes.
And then if you watch Captain Underpants, I didn't read Captain Underpants, but my son laughed at it. I went to theater with him thinking, oh, I'm just going to lie here and fall asleep. It was hilarious.
Right.
I normally don't laugh at that, but okay. I thought it was so funny.
The internet was laughing at fart jokes today. So like we all my pretend.
My children felt terrible. You saw a video. They were like, that sucks for him.
That's embarrassing.
Is he being bullied? And no, that's so mean. Like they felt empathy for him.
But we all pretend we don't like silly humor.
I like silly humor. I don't like fart jokes, but I like silly humor.
All right.
I had one brother and he constantly made fart jokes and I was like, stop. Me and my sisters are like, more fart jokes. And I've got two sons and I'm like, literally nobody wants to be invited to their son's bedroom. Mom, come in my room. I open the door. I'm like, and he's like,
hey,
welcome to my bedroom.
My brother and I used to play duets, making our armpits fart and playing songs.
Oh, that's better than real.
Yeah. Oh, no,
we've been talking about farts a lot. YA.
So in defense. Jasper Ford has a great YA.
Which one?
So The Last Dragon Slayer.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he writes YA.
Amazing. And I love it.
I haven't jumped into it yet.
The Bechdel test. It's like, she is no nonsense. She's not, she kind of saves the world without spoilers, but she's not, it's not because she's like, and I'm so beautiful that I don't realize it, and I'm like so talented. It's just like she's the adult in a world where some of the adults are not acting like adults.
Yeah.
She's like, I made sure we paid the bills and the lights turned off because you didn't pay the electricity, but I forged your signature. So
every personality exists in YA. We're gonna talk a little bit more about this one more time after another break. Okay, so you were saying Jasper Ford.
Yeah, that was my gateway into Jasper Ford, was reading one of his YA books. It was a little silly.
Mm-hmm.
It had a funny, setup. It was just, she has like a hilarious pet that's kind of ridiculous.
Are the Gregor Maguire books at all, any of them YA? Because I feel like he's written a lot of, he did the Wicked series and did a lot of fairy tale retellings.
Right.
And he has like middle grade stuff, but I don't think he's done YA yet.
Interesting.
But I would read it because I feel like I have to own it. I feel like I'm responsible for that. The same way you feel like, oh, if Jasper Ford wrote it, I have to read it.
Yeah, totally. Like I think, we talked about the YA, you have to know what you're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
So you could start with an author that you already are familiar with. A lot of authors are putting out YA right now. Kellerman just had a lot of them are pairing with
Jonathan.
He has his name on a few YA series. So I think a lot
really?
of mainstream authors are promoting or pairing together
like with other authors. Like James Patterson
has? James Patterson has
some. I mean, he's got a whole brand.
Yeah, there's a ton. There's tons and tons and tons.
Yeah.
You see the names all the time.
Oh, Goodreads is always, anytime James Patterson puts his name on any new author's YA, I get told about it because I read Gunslinger Girl.
Exactly. Oh, Gunslinger Girl.
Yes, and because I read that one, it's like, you might also be interested in this one.
Exactly.
And if you decide to do that, guys, on Goodreads, Goodreads will help you enter win this book contests a lot.
Oh, yes.
So you can do that. If you just follow enough authors on there, they'll start giving you entrances to contests.
Yeah, Twitter also, I see a lot of folks giving out free
ARC ARC giveaways.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Here's a bundle. Here's a giveaway. The don't read the comments from Eric. It was, here's an ARC plus a pin that says like, don't read the comments that like, I just thought for an author, that's like super helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you looking for? Do you have any books you were telling me about the series?
So, you know, I haven't read all of the books in the series, but there was a book that I read that was YA. It follows. When the grandfather dies, he was well known as an adventurer. He went and collected a bunch of, you know, his home was full of bits and baubles and really interesting things that he'd collect all these years. But when he dies, he puts out this crazy will, like just documenting that each of his seven grandchildren has to follow and complete some task. Mm-hmm. They have to go on a hike and discover a thing or find this or follow the clues.
So it was book one about the grandfather?
No.
So the premise, this is before you even start reading, you just have to know this information.
You have to know. Each book leads into it. And each book is written by a different author.
But the author is, I am this grandchild. I am this grandchild.
Yes. And in the book. So I read
one. They all have different voices.
It's all different voices. And
wow.
This one I read was.
Okay. That's so me. I would read this in a heartbeat.
17-year-old Webb's abusive stepfather has made it impossible for him to live at home. So he's living on the streets, busking in Toronto.
Yeah.
Washing guitars. And when his grandfather dies, he needs to go on a trip to the north. And
that's just one of the books.
The cold and the grizzly bears and all this stuff.
And each of them goes on a different adventure, each grandchild.
Yeah.
And each book is written by a different author, but they all have to, the world building required of connecting each other's stories. That means each author had to read each other's stories.
There are seven prequels and seven sequels.
For each, oh my, that's right. That's it. Each book has a prequel and a sequel. So now, oh my, it's 21 books.
It's a lot. So that one, I'm kind of reading. There's
what's
more.
It called? What's the name of the series and the name of the first author for book one?
Oh no, I already
go back. I need, this is important work that we are doing, and you cannot do it later.
It was The Devil's Pass.
Yeah,
and the series is called Sevens. The Sevens, I think.
So that's on my list for books that I'm excited. I chose a book that I'm excited about because I've been seeing it everywhere and I'm heavily influenced by online materials and marketing.
Oh yeah, totally.
But called The Gilded Ones by Namina Forna, which is a West African inspired feminist fantasy series. Anything that's a series, all right?
Oh gosh.
Girls are outcasts by blood, warriors by choice. It comes out in May. 16-year-old Deka lives in fear and anticipation of the blood ceremony that will determine whether she'll become a member of her village. Already different from everyone else because of her unnatural intuition, which I, come on, anyone that's already different from everyone else, right? Deka prays for red blood so she can finally feel like she belongs. But on the day of the ceremony, her blood runs gold, the color of impurity, and Deka knows she will face a consequence worse than death. A mysterious woman comes to her with a choice: stay in the village and submit to your fate, relief to fight for the emperor and an army of girls like you. They are called Alakai, near immortals with rare gifts. And they are the only ones who can stop the empire's greatest threat. This is right up your alley.
I love it.
Knowing the dangers that lie ahead, yet yearning for acceptance, she decides to live the only life she's ever known. But as she journeys to the capital to train for the biggest battle of her life, she'll discover that the great walled city holds many surprises. Nothing and no one are quite what they seem to be, not even Deka herself. This is a classic.
I love it.
Classic, you know, what we've been yearning for all this time, ever since the Hunger Games stole our hearts. We've been wanting more of this, except this is not in America. It's West African inspired. So now we've got villages and we've got different ceremonies that were not part of our culture. And that's my favorite thing because it sends me down a Google rabbit hole to see where Namina Forna got inspired from. And that's my favorite part, is going down the rabbit hole and seeing the inspiration.
So Felicia Grossman recommended one called Of Sea and Venom by Trinidad Escobar.
Is it out yet?
And no, it's not out yet. So
we're talking about our to-be-read list. Yes.
So set in the 1500s Pacific Islands in near future Oakland, California, the Own Voices story is about a teenage priestess in training whose future in the divine sciences is challenged when unexpected conquistadors land on her tribe's beach.
Eee! And I mean, set for spring. Who's the author?
Trinidad Escobar
of Sea and Venoms. Okay, so now our list of upcoming reads has grown. First of all, your original item was 21 books worth. So
I mean, you read them now, and then by the time you're done, this book will come out. At least seven are.
Okay, but that gives us a really great 2020 Goodreads goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we are preparing to count down to the end of the decade. We've got, so we definitely want some suggestions to add to our 2020 list. Yes. So YA 2020, Don't Read the Comments, The Gilded Ones, and you've got Sea and Venom and the other one with the 21 books.
Yeah, the sevens.
Yeah, the sevens. Oh, the seven. Oh my God, I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited about that. Anything yeah. that's a series and 21 of them.
I know.
It's going
to
take
all year. Well, then you have to read the paranormal one I'm reading also. It has so many books.
I love that. I love it when it just keeps going. And as long as every single book is as immersive as the book before.
Exactly.
You know, I don't like books that are like just kind of placeholders.
Right.
No, that's not for me.
Or like, I'm sorry, if each book ends with so much of a cliffhanger that you actually haven't concluded anything, then you've written chapters.
Yeah.
Book long chapters, but you did not write an entire book.
Yes. That's not a book. Agreed. And I actually like a book where each chapter ends on a cliffhanger, so there's no natural stopping point.
Right.
I think it's evil and awesome.
But your book should end. Come on.
Your book should end, but you should be able to read it in one sitting emotionally. Right. Like, you should feel the pull towards the next chapter so that you can jump right into the next one. So our 2020 is looking pretty bright.
Yeah.
And, dude, I'm not even thinking about all the other ones. And those are all just YA.
Right, I know.
So much about it. You know, people say that YA Twitter is toxic because of all this other stuff, but you also get so many good book recommendations.
I know. Oh my gosh. The recommendations alone, like my poor Goodreads, I'm burning up, you know, I don't even know how. I think my to read pile is over 600 books now.
It's a large pile. Even my to be read pile next to my bed is 600 books. I was staring at it going, what am I going to do with it all? Like, I just was like, a lot of it's your needs. So I'm just going to go back to her.
Oh, no.
But a lot of it, I'm like, okay, that belongs to so-and-so and that belongs to so-and-so. And I do remember who each book belongs to.
Do you have this problem? So, like, you know, I have all my books organized and everything. And then all of a sudden, one person, three people return books. And I'm like, where do all these go?
Yes.
I don't have space for them.
Have you seen my sideways books on top of my regular books? This is how it goes. Oh, so we would love to hear from you. Go to our Instagram, Kiddish Book Club, and you can find me on Twitter at Hoffman Jess.
And I'm Yonit DM everywhere.
Everywhere. And tell us what YA books we should add to our 2020 books that are coming out in the next couple months or just came out that we haven't read yet or coming out in 2020. If you're an author whose book is coming out in 2020, we would love to hear from you, you roaring 20 author. And also, I feel like we should give away a bookmark.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll definitely pick someone who sends us a good comment or a good suggestion to get a love note with a bookmark.
Yes. If you put a comment.
We're holding up bookmarks like you can see us, guys.
I'm holding it up to the microphone. Tap, tap, tap. If you go to Instagram Kiddish Book Club, so not Twitter, on Instagram, and you write down a suggestion of a book for 2020, YA, that's coming out now or in 2020, we will enter you to win a bookmark. We're going to put up a bookmark in the post and write the information, and we will we'll send you one of them, literally a bookmark. Listen, it's a pretty awesome bookmark.
It's a pretty awesome bookmark.
My kid saw it and I was like, don't tell Yonit, it's a surprise, because I do things without telling her. It's awesome. It's solid. It's glossy.
Yay.
It's got our black and white aesthetic, and you'll see it online.
Should I admit that they told me?
Who told my kids told you? Myself, you pretended to be surprised so beautifully.
Because I didn't know what you
When's your birthday? What month is your birthday?
Surprising me with May.
Oh, May. Okay, we are going to – you are good at pretending to be surprised.
Well, no, because you said it with – I didn't know that this was going to be
Yes, but after you saw it, you went, ooh, because
have
you seen it?
Them, no.
Oh, so you got a chance to admire it. So because I pulled it out of my hand, like, you went, oh, I get it. This is a thing. Okay, so thank you for coming and joining us. I'm glad that we have something for you to win.
And if you want to drink our girly YA drink, you too could find at 7-Elevens near you.
Without
they don't sponsor
an
us either, but neither does the Blue Bottle. So
partner,
we're spreading the love.
Spreading the love to other people now.
That's
Thank
right.
you for coming to the Kiddish Book Club.
Good night. Hashem, Abdullah, Behar.